He's doing what some of these tours and leagues can only aspire to do, and that's go global. Jan Poppy, Mr. Worldwide. What do you think?
He's always been an idea man, Rob. He has correct. Since the very beginning. WPC, first man doing pool play to get through to a single elimination bracket. I mean, he's an innovator, and now he's gone global.
He went from having one court in his retail shop in Bonita Springs, Florida, to now roaming the globe.
To now having thousands of his own courts around the globe.
Thousands.
Thousands.
Yes, no, but correct. So yeah, this European finals, and I don't know what is that, Austria, Switzerland? One of those. It was in the Alps. It was looked very snowy. It looked very cold. They used the Pickleball United rollout course. Shout out to Pickleball United. My Indian compatriot.
compatriot.
I'm just yeah. Oh my god, dude.
UV.
UV. Hey, yeah. UV's not necessarily involved in Pickleball United. It's my homie Prawn. But UV is an Indian innovator, and he's on the forefront of Indian innovation in the pickleball space and all of that and what it entails. But Switzerland, Pickleball United courts, it looked awesome. And what I like about European tournaments, and I saw a little bit of this in tennis when I played, I'm not going to say the ATP tour, but I played like some local tournaments in Scotland when I went over to coach this kid. And it's just like they run tournaments so well. It's like there's a lot of recognition for people running the tournament. It's like a whole production. Everybody sticks around for like the end of the day after the final match of the tournament's done. They do like really cool introductions to the players that did well. The players that did well will actually give little speeches. Like it's not just like an interview on court. It's just a cool atmosphere. And they live streamed this bad boy. And so, you know what? There wasn't much live pickleball going on. So we flipped it on, watched a little bit of it, and saw our little homeboy that I met in the English Open. His name's Mauro Garcia. And he's a 16-year-old Spanish kid, slight in stature. We might compare him to a Hayden Patrickwin at 16 years old in America, but fast as lightning. Has nice soft touch. Good. He got to the singles final, I believe, and lost to a guy named Mateusz from Poland, who's a lefty that also, you know, plays with a carp and hits the living crap out of the ball. So watch that final in singles. There's a lot of talent internationally. That's, you know, the more exposure they get to America, the better they're going to get, and or American players, that is. And I know the Indian contingent of top players that I trained when I went over there a couple months ago, they're all coming over for the U.S. Open in Naples in April, which will be fun because that'll be kind of like their first taste of a high level tournament in the States. And that'll give them a good kind of bearing on where they're at and what they need to improve on. So Jan Poppy, just, you know, growing the game globally. Who else can say that?
No one, Robert. But I think that's interesting that's the vibe. And I think it was like that in the States a bit, you know, 6 or 7 years ago. So the newness of the sport in these other countries, along with probably them just doing it their way as well, like you said, with the production, maybe less of a big tournament every weekend kind of cash grab situation that we're in the States. It's more of the community of it. And pickleball will always have a great community in the States, but every year that goes by, it's maybe just a teeny bit less, especially at the higher levels. So yeah, I remember going to Hawaii for a tournament 5 years ago or something like that. And, you know, they just have a nice little potluck afterwards where everyone gets together, has a couple beers, has some nice food, some camaraderie, and it's a good community. And I think that is one of the main reasons why pickleball has so much staying power. It is that community that it entails. And it's great to see that happening in places, not just in North America.
Yeah, and I don't think that has to be lost on the sport as the sport grows either, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think maybe naturally with the competitiveness of the pro landscape and, you know, people playing for money and, you know, like as an actual career. I'm just trying to avoid saying real money because I feel like that's overused a lot. So, but playing for money that's real. No, but I think, and we talk about this a lot, and it's talked about all over. It's like all of these investors vying for money in pro pickleball seems like such a, I'm not going to say a bad investment because I'm, you know, we're both included in that, and we need it to be a good investment. But obviously the you know, majority of the markets, the 99.9% of people that just play amateur and have fun. And I mean, those are where their numbers are and the volume. And I think like that style of tournament that we're talking about, like the one in Hawaii with potluck and that community aspect and people coming together and like that is like the ethos of pickleball as a whole. And like, that's what it should be and what I think it can be and continue to be, as long as, you know, it doesn't get sucked into this, you know, this, I don't know, just trying to monetize every aspect of it. Like, I think you can, and APP has done a good job. And I think, Pickle Four, the guys that did the ballpark series and that own the US Open now, I think organizations like that can put a big emphasis on the amateur experience and basically, and maintain what pickleball is supposed to be and should be. Also do it profitably, but create an incredible experience for the amateur. And I think that's where the real opportunity lies in pickleball.
Yeah. And I made some statement about it being at the top or the pro levels, and there is going to be a 1% situation where it is a bit more businessy, but we don't want that trickle down to go too far. It's going to happen a little bit, but keep the community and, you know, a lot of those things that you said right there, pretty optimistic that will continue. Maybe not at the highest of levels, but almost all of the pickleball community can feel that way.
Yeah. And I know, you know, we're going to start doing our altcast where we're commentating on events going on that we're not at physically. So that'll be a lot of fun. But I think I would, it would be really fun to have you get over to an international event, like maybe the English Open this upcoming year, the Indian Open, if it works. Oh, we should talk about the Indian Open. Do you have anything going on that weekend, February 8th to 11th?
What, February 8th to 11th? Oh, I have no idea. I don't know anything, Rob.
That could be a potentially worthwhile trip for you to go over to India and do some commentary.
Yeah, no, I'm into it. I think that there, I mean, it's just, we've talked about it multiple times. It's just too great of a realm that you have to dip your toe into it. The player pools, the racket sports, and the love of those from a lot of these countries. I mean, we what'd you talk about last time we were talking about Indian pickleball? The Chinese are not playing for 5 years and training their pickleball players so they can burst onto the scene. I mean, if you don't love that, it's great stuff. So
they're training by vertical too, from only table tennis backgrounds, from only squash backgrounds, from only badminton backgrounds.
See, this is what I want. This is what I like. This is global, and this is where it needs to be, Robert.
And you also need to be in a Bollywood outfit dancing in the streets of Mumbai, because there's nothing else I want to see more than that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm that guy. Like, I feel like I can go to a new culture and just immerse myself in it and just have a couple. Do they have IPAs over there, Rob? Yeah, do they? Maybe?
Yeah, they absolutely
do. Okay, that's all I need. I need a couple IPAs. And if they don't, immerse myself in culture. And
they'll create a stone IPA for you.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a stone IPA. I might just bring some with me, Robert.
There we go. So, but yes, I want to, I think we should both get over to a international event tournament. Maybe you even come out of retirement for one of them for old time's sakes. Maybe not.
Maybe we'll see. I'm playing, I'm playing a bit of pickle today, later this afternoon, Robert, with Colin Schick and Stefan Averne, who is in town. And I'm just hoping to get through it without injury. That's goal number one.
That's always a win. Just, mm-hmm. you know, having a nice, healthy sesh of no injury.
And Robert, big news.
What?
Big news.
Yeah.
I actually am heading to Charlotte on Friday. This is Wednesday to play with old Mr. Jack Sock.
Oh, okay.
I've been wanting to do that for a couple months, and it looks like we're going to be able to make it happen. So,
okay.
I believe it's going to be myself, Colin Schick, who apparently is paired up with Sock for not just one or two tournaments for a good chunk of the year, which was cool news to hear.
Breaking news.
Eric Roddy. So, dude.
Abraham Deacon.
His name's Abraham Deacon? I love it.
Abraham Deacon. Dude. He's my favorite person in pickleball.
Really? I've never met him. I've never spent time with him before. I'm excited.
Oh, Adam, you're in for a real treat if you get to spend time with Mr. Abraham Deacon.
Okay.
Because it's not only Abraham Deacon. Sometimes Mr. Thomas Jefferson comes out and makes an appearance. Not only Thomas Jefferson, but sometimes even Dwight B. Eisenhower will make an appearance too.
Oh man, those old presidential references got a little brow sweat working for me. That's good stuff. All three of them. I mean Abraham Deacon. I thought it was over. You broke out two more. No. And these are Eric Roddy specials.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
He's fins up for Mr. Eric Roddy.
Yeah.
He's a big Miami Dolphins fan.
Well, screw Jack Sock. Maybe I just want to be hanging out with Eric Roddy and have a new best friend right there, you know?
I assure you, Abraham Deacon is the highlight of that trip.
Yeah, that's right. I think Sock and Schick can have some success as long as they don't run up against the buzzsaw of Dobrand and Roddy, because Sock, not a big fan of playing those two, that's for sure.
No. Mm-mm. Got his number. Mm-mm. So, okay. I'll let you lead us into the next segment because I have no idea where we go from here, Mr. Adam.
Oh, well, let's bring out. So we talked about the what do you call it? Altcast.
Altcast.
Altcast. Yeah, so
we need a name. Let's throw a name out to the pickle sphere. Come up with an altcast name for us.
Yeah. So that is a remote commentary of a live event, and I have not done that before, but I think it would be great, Robert. I believe we got some nice feedback of our little 4-hour stint at the Beer City Open. So it feels like we need to run it back.
Yeah, but I'm going to just be completely honest with you, Adam. I'm probably not going to do commentary like people want me to do commentary. Mm. Like I'm probably going to talk over points just because I have stuff to say. And I think an altcast, like if you want to watch and listen to the existing commentators that are in pro pickleball, watch the mainstream. You got it. Everything you want right there. If you want an alternative altcast, listen to us. We might say some fun stuff.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
And so.
I don't think we need to do it in the way that you're supposed to do it, like in terms of commentary. I think we can, it's our rules, Adam.
That's right.
We just need organizations to allow us to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
that might be a challenge.
I don't know how this all works, but it seems like we have to get something signed off on to make this happen, I would imagine. Even if we have, what would happen if we had more viewers in the actual regular situation, Rob? I don't know.
I think that might be the issue, is that I think we probably would.
I see.
When you combine elite level high-end content talent, Adam, stuff like that tends to happen. So I don't want to bootleg it. I've bootlegged it before. Mm-hmm. I did an altcast solo. A guy that used to manage the freestyle podcast, my homie Tony, was able to rig up something. It was not above board. But I did it in Hawaii when I was in Hawaii and just commentated for like a day, and people liked it, dude. So I think we're going to kill it as long as we can get permission to figure out how to do it. As long as we can do it legally. Yeah.
Legally. Oh, also Robert, we were pondering a bit of an idea a couple weeks ago, and a little IFR, It Feels Right retreat, possibly. So
not possibly.
A mix, not possibly. Yes, it's going to happen. Now, when exactly that happens could be up for debate a bit, but it would be some social interactions with you and myself, a little bit of play with the pro and former pro being me, and a bit of instruction as well, all kind of wrapped into a fun-filled weekend at a very nice Airbnb location with some quality pickleball courts as well. I think it's a great idea and would love to hear any feedback from some of our consistent viewers if that is something they would be interested in.
Oh, that's well said. And I think, I think what will be different about it from other stuff that you see out there, call it a all-inclusive resort, yada, yada, is this will be a more intimate experience. Mm. I don't know why I said intimate like that. It'll be a more intimate experience.
I know why,
Robert. Stop it. No, it won't be intimate like that. It'll just be a small, tight-knit group of just people that love pickleball, that want to get better, that want to hang out. Like you said, we'll do it at probably a extremely large Airbnb that has many bedrooms and many bathrooms and pickleball courts. And I think it'll be super fun. We'll obviously record a podcast there, live podcast in the living room or something. We'll just hang out and talk pickleball for 4 days until your heart's tired of pickleball, which probably won't be.
Mm, yeah, maybe never.
But it'll be super fun.
It's like adult camp. Who doesn't want to go to adult camp? And
it will be smaller though. It'll be like probably, I would imagine, capped out at like 12 to 16 people.
Yeah.
And then, looking at like probably a three or four night situation with a lot of pickle and a lot of hanging out and somewhere warm, but not too warm.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm excited. You sold me. I'm in.
I'm in too. Who else is in? Yeah. So leave us some feedback if that's something that sounds interesting, and we'll start working on dates.
Love that.
Love that too. Okay. On Robert, to the next.
Robert, yes. I wanted to mention something.
Yes.
I just thought this was funny. I was just scrolling through a bit of teams for the PPA Masters, which I believe is the next big tournament. And old Jeannie Bouchard with a nice 2.0 rating. Love that.
Oh, 2.0.
I didn't know it went that low.
I didn't either. But do you think, I would imagine she's coming out of the gate probably as like a 4.0. So I'll say that's a little low for her. But
yeah, maybe that's the default when you don't have a rating, that's what they give you, 2.0.
Yeah. But I would say, I don't know if anybody's heard of her actually holding a pickleball paddle or playing yet. Maybe she has. I think if she had been playing with any high level players, we probably would have heard about it. But good luck, Tyler Lung. I mean, it's a loss, but a win for him.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I'm gonna give her 4.82.
Oh, that's super generous.
4.82. I'm gonna stick with that. I mean,
yeah,
she's gotta be okay, right? Right. But that's the biggest thing that you said, Rob, is that we would have heard about it just through the grapevine if she was playing with quality players and kind of holding up in that situation. So I'm probably just going to guess that she's played 2 to 4 times of pickleball. And until I hear otherwise, that's what I'm sticking with.
Yeah. Who, Adam, speaking of kind of new players emerging and new partnerships, all that kind of stuff. Well, first off, just talking about the PPA Hyundai Masters tournament, the all white event.
How'd you say it? Hyundai?
Hyundai.
Hyundai. Okay.
Hyundai. I don't know. Not sure if that's actually how you say it.
Okay.
But there's a lot of teams signed up. And I took the liberty of, because I've been getting hit up by the PPA asking who my partners are for it. And I'm like, well, I didn't sign up for it. So nobody. And not only that, but I have an exclusive MLP contract currently that goes into effect January 1st that prohibits me from playing any other events. So how would I contractually be able to even sign up for this event and participate in it, Adam?
You tell me, Robert.
I'm not a lawyer. But I think there's a lot of players and teams that have signed up that when I've asked them, they're like, no, I didn't sign up.
Oh, really? But so they just got put
but they're,
on.
But they're listed, which I find to be curious. So, one, it'll be interesting to see, you know, who's actually playing it based on, or, you know, versus like who's actually signed up for it right now. Because I've heard some mixed things on people that are participating. And I think a lot of it's obviously depending on what happens with this merger, which, you know, they've extended the deadline to what, January 31st now, which seems like a odd time to do it considering there's events prior to that, which the contract goes into effect January 1st, which so these existing contracts will be valid for a month. And then with the potential that we're violating the contracts. So I don't know. It's all hairy. It's all weird. It's all moving too slow. And it's what, December? Well, we're recording this on December 20th. And the new year starts, obviously, in a, you know, less than 2 weeks. And I have no idea what my schedule is next year and what I have to play, what I don't have to play. But in terms of who is signed up for the PPA Masters and the new players that are playing on the PPA Tour, we've got the, you know, not Sam Querrey's not new, but we have him. We have Donald Jung. We have Jack Sock, Jeannie Bouchard. Who are you just, you know, just in terms of pickleball viewership, like what gets the most views are these kind of former tennis players that like the Pickleball Slam with McEnroe and Chang, like that had good numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they're legends of tennis and, you know, Jack Sock's the highest profile tennis player coming over. Donald Jung had a great, you know, maybe didn't live up to expectations for his pro tennis career, but was a very good pro tennis player. I think that's going to draw a lot of viewership out of the gate. It's just like, how do these guys stack up? Same with what we saw at the Bubbly in Vegas. People just want to see, like, you know, it's always been the biggest question is, can these guys just come over and dominate? And I think that's been answered pretty resoundingly no. Mm-hmm. At this point, but who are you most excited to kind of keep tabs on in 2024 of the crossovers?
Well, first off, that entire wonderful spiel that you just gave for 5 minutes took me the entirety of it to find the tournament on pickleballbrackets.com, Rob. So
you're welcome. So I was buying time.
Thank you. Thank you. As I'm frivolously over here on my iPad trying to find some of the teams, only took me 7 minutes to do so. I think that's a great question. And we touched on it episode or two ago. It's like, it's a win-win situation. Like some uber talented athletic tennis player comes over and beats people right out of the gate. That's fun. They shit the bed and fall on their face. That's fun too. So
and we had both from Jack Sock. It was
first round loss and it was winning the damn tournament in mixed. Anna Lee, whoever your partner is, you still got to get it done. So to see that full range from Jack Sock in that tournament was great. And in terms of some of the players, I think it's the ones that are kind of going for it and playing a little more seriously, like a Donald Jung or something. We don't know anything about Jeannie Bouchard, so I'm guessing she's not maybe full force going into it, but I think we've had statements from Donald and players of that caliber that he's going to make a crack at it for the year and kind of see how it goes. So the ones that have that racket sport, high-end sporting background, and they are kind of committed or at least semi-committed to putting in some effort into the sport. Those are the main ones that I'm looking for. And I think it's great. I'm going to get a little taste of it in 2 days with Jack to actually, I mean, I've watched him play. I hear the buzz. I hear other players talk about him. But to get on court with him, I will have a much better understanding of his level, as I think that there's really no replacement for being on court with someone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did see that I heard that he signed up for singles, which will be also fun again because he did play singles in Charlotte and had some battles. I think he went down to old Jake Kazmaier.
Oh yeah, God, little bit of athleticism on that court.
Yeah, but that was a fun match to watch, and I think it'll be interesting to see if he continues to play singles, because again, like talent, like, you know, just finished a long tennis career, a lot of court time, a lot of, you know, those legs have been churning for a long time. And as we know, like people, you know, look at the J-dubs. It's like, yeah, it's just not like once you hit a level in doubles, it's like, it's not always worth it to keep playing singles.
Yeah. And maybe even for me, I mean, he doesn't love his backhand. His first step is incredibly explosive. He's obviously a phenomenal mover. So for me, you obviously have to factor in some of injury stuff, hips and knees, with his high-end tennis background. But for me, I think you got to be careful. I understand this is pickle, smaller court, but you're playing all three events and you're doing at least decent in all of them. Your fitness better be there too. I don't care what his background is. I know he's got a young kid. If, you know, he's not on point from a cardio fitness perspective, he could possibly struggle if he's making deep runs in all three events.
Yeah. I mean, with mixed, I think he will be going deep, and mixed is the second most physical event. So it'll be interesting to see that, especially with men's being on the last day, how much toll it's taken on him and how men's goes.
Yeah. So, and Rob, you're a perfect example as well. We both play singles very similarly.
Yeah.
Playing singles with a poor backhand is very difficult to do. And it is very physically taxing. You know, you don't just have that, whatever, Federico two-hander where you're almost even on both sides or something, you know, much more difficult. So yeah, it's something to keep in mind and monitor.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be fun. I don't know. Do you have the tournament pulled up?
I do.
Like, it'll be fun to see if Donald Young's playing singles, because he, I could see him being very, very good at not just, you know, having great passing shots, and because he has a good forehand and a backhand. It would be, I could see him having nice touch finesse, being very, very quick on court, playing solid cat and mouse. I could see him being a very, very good singles player.
Yeah. Effortless movement. You know, it's like those two, both of them. It's just like, first step, it's just, you're just there. You know, there's no like building up your speed or taking a couple steps to get there. When I watch Donald and Jack Sock play, when they needed to move, man, it is just so, so smooth.
Yeah.
I think we're pulling up singles here.
We should get Donald on the podcast.
Come on, Donald. Come on. Dude, why is this so difficult? Why? Like, I mean, I'm a pickleball junkie. I'm scrolling through this crap all the time, Robert. I can't find anything. How is it so difficult? I don't understand.
Software.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I got it pulled up finally here.
And is Jeannie Bouchard playing singles? That's also another question I have.
Shook in there. I don't see any of them. For men's. Oh, Sock is in. Sock is in. I do see it. You mentioned that. But Luke Wasson. Who's Luke Wasson?
Mm-hmm.
He's in main draw right off the bat. So, yeah, that's it. I don't know. Men's, don't see Donald on there. Only name that query any of that. Just Sock.
And who are Donald's partners?
It's another great question. Give me 11 more give me 11 more minutes and I'll tell you, Rob. So for men's doubles, I mean, there's some pretty interesting teams here. I like it. It's a little different, couple different looks. Just, you know, a handful of, you got Navratil and Rettenmeier. I don't know if we've ever seen that before.
That'll be fun. I know Andre's playing with Tardio.
Tardio. I mean, lots of length, lots of tools to work with those two. Yeah, if Tardio can stay locked in mentally, I see him go through some dips.
That's the question.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, but when he's playing well, dude's a monster.
And he's a monster on both sides.
Yeah, I don't see Donald Young in men's doubles.
Oh, maybe he's not playing.
Or it could be qualifying. Let's try that.
No way they're putting him in qualies. depends what he signed, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I'm gonna do. Yeah, not in there, not in there.
Okay.
So
well, that's a bummer. So
yeah, it is too bad. It's okay.
It's okay. Is Jeannie playing? Jeannie playing women's?
It's the iPad's done. I can't do it anymore.
Okay.
I can't talk and think about what to say.
It's a heavy load.
Pickleball brackets. You know, my life's tough, Rob. It always has been. So.
Yeah, we'll keep it simple. We'll keep it simple. Mm-hmm. One thing we should talk about, Adam, is it feels like it's an important part we should start talking about a little bit more, is how to get better at pickleball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do you think? And I think, so big shout out to my buddy, Michael O'Neill, who has a great podcast, which is focused on just this. I actually know him from pre-pickleball days when I was doing my other podcast called Fail On. I don't know if he still does it, but he has a podcast called, it's all based on solopreneur, basically entrepreneur, one man business type stuff. And he would do a podcast focused on that. But he has a podcast now on pickleball called 4.0 to Pro, and he does it with Scott Fliegelman out of Boulder.
Oh, I know Fliegelman.
Senior pro. Yeah, Fliegelman's a great guy. And this is what their podcast is focused on, is how to go from 4.0 to Pro. So it's doing great. It's content that people love. And I think we have a unique perspective, Adam, in terms of helping people do that.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably only 500 true pro pickleball junkies. There's about 5 million people that want to go from 3.5 or 4.0 and improve their game. So it is a broader audience going from pro pickleball to talking about those skills and traits that allow you to take that leap forward. And that's one of the great things about it. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a pro. There's always a group or a challenge court at your local area that you want to get to, whether you're 2.0 Jeannie Bouchard or you're a 4.0 player that plays five times a week. There's always a level to improve and to get up to, and that makes it challenging and great for so many varieties of levels of play. So
I want you to go into like a specific like to do for people this week that they can actually work on. But I want to hear your thoughts on kind of, so like when I kind of made that goal of going from beginner to pro, I have a friend named Craig Clemens, who's in LA. He runs a company called Golden Hippo Media, and he is known as probably one of the best direct response copywriters in the world. So which for those of you that don't know, that just means he is able to write sales and marketing material that makes people pull out their credit cards and buy on the spot based on persuasive copy. And so he's incredibly talented. And I did an interview with him on a previous podcast, and he basically has this 4-step process to becoming world-class at anything. And I've always thought about this anytime I'm learning a new skill or wanting to get good at anything. And it's kind of what I followed in pickleball. And I even wrote about it in one of my first blogs at Pickleball Portal, who carried my blog as I was just getting started. And so the 4 steps are, number one is immersion. It's application. So application means you have to do and practice what you're wanting to get good at. You have to do it a lot. You have to do it at least 5 days a week and really put in the time of doing the skill, whatever it may be. The second is immersion. Like you have to, you know, for us, Adam, I think, you know, everybody goes through this. When they're first starting out at pickleball, you start dreaming of it, right? Like you dream of certain scenarios and you watch YouTube videos and you just consume as much information as you can. You listen to podcasts, you watch instructional videos on how to improve. So that's immersion, is really just going all in. The third step's mentorship. So for me in that respect was when I kind of tapped out of as good as I could get when I was started in Austin, when I was playing with you and you would come through occasionally, I was like, well, I've got to be around better players because I'm the best one here now that's playing regularly. So that's when I went to Florida and practiced with, you know, Declan and Vivian and Simone and got into those groups. And that's kind of like how I looked at as mentorship. Like I remember reaching out to Deckel really early on. He didn't know who I was. And he was very kind and responded. And I literally was like, okay, well, I'm going to come practice. And he's like, okay. So like just the mentorship aspect's really important in terms of finding people that have accomplished what you want to accomplish and being around them and not just taking from them. Right. Like I was the worst player on the court, but I was good enough to where they still got good practice. And I realized that. And so you're still adding value to the group. The last one that none of us can really, you can't really cheat is time. It just takes time. Like you're going to have to put in the reps. You can't really cheat time. you can accelerate it by putting in more reps quicker, but it's still going to take time. So that's kind of the four-step process from Craig Clemens that I always think about really with anything. And I think you can apply that across any skill.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But I was curious on, because, you know, for somebody that's gotten into high level stuff outside of pickleball, you as well, like poker, do you see similarities with that in terms of that process?
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah. I think sure, maybe those just exact specific things might be slightly more tailored to different activities, but there is overlap with all of those, those four and whatever you want to really go for. So, for me, so just from kind of a theory perspective, for me, some of the associations I make with poker and pickleball are like long-term math and long-term strategy and self-awareness of knowing when you're doing something well and it's not working, or you're doing something poorly and it is working. I think that there is a ton of noise in pickleball, point to point, game to game, stat stuff. All of that is very noisy, and you need to know the difference between everything when you're in the moment. And it's tough when you're in the moment. I remember when you came to that Austin group, you could just, at some point you could just blow everyone off the court. And I remember we had a light back and forth on Messenger or whatever. And I was like, well, why don't you just attack the player with good hands? The player who can't dink, don't dink to them. The player with good hands, attack them. The player with a great soft game, don't just frivolously speed up. Beat them at what they do well. Yeah. And that is like one of the best ways to get that quality practice and that quality court time. So it's just easy to shake and bake, have super short points, overwhelm someone who has a poor skill set in a certain way. Practice with a purpose and make sure you are knowing your opponents, your practice groups, and maximizing what you get out of it.
And the only way you can do this, and I think this is where people struggle with doing exactly what you just said, is their will to win. You have to be okay losing in practice. Yes. It doesn't matter. Like, but that's
I love to lose in practice. It's my favorite. Yeah.
And I remember like when you would come play with our groups, like you would lose often in practice, and I was like, Jesus, this guy's not that good. But you're working on certain things, you know what I mean? And you would even announce it before the game. You're like, oh, I'm just gonna work on leaving every ball this game that I think is gonna go out. And you would just really take like these little micro things in each game that you'd play and just purely focus on those games.
Yeah. And I was like, I was a pretty aggressive competitor in my early years, in my teen years, and even in my 20s as well. And I think that poker really helped me with that, because you lose. It doesn't matter how good you are. You freaking lose in poker, and you lose a lot. So getting myself to a mental space where I was okay with that and had the ability to do what we were just talking about, I think it was such a leap for me, not only professionally in games and sports, but also in life as well. And I don't think if I went through that decade of poker, I would have been able to detach myself from maybe losing in those early years of pickleball like I was able to do. So I think that you're exactly right. It's a huge factor. I can see the glimmer in some of these, you know, 4-0 and 4-5's eyes when they're working on something, they're playing the right way, and then they just get that little oomph of competitive drive, and it kind of just, it's not bad. It's just that you have to find a way to manage it and have that inside, but also stay locked in mentally and know what's going on as well.
There's nothing I respect more than going into like a group of three players that are like 4 or 5, and they play every ball to me. Mm-hmm. You know, like and that sounds so simple, but like I would say, because I hop in those groups pretty often, and I would say it happens 10% of the time where that actually happens. Yeah. People's drive to win and just win the point versus actually try to get better, just it overtakes them. Like they just want to win, and it's like, but getting a win in this particular game means jack shit. Like you have an opportunity to like hit balls with a pro. Why would you not?
Yeah, it's like I've been on the court so many times where it's someone is the weak link and my partner or whatever, my partner is the weak link, whatever it may be, they see that chink in the armor and they go at that player more instead of going to the better player and getting better, more reps, better practice, more realistic point construction. So it's kind of like that little paradigm shift to go from that full on competitive spirit and barrage to know what is actually going to be the most efficient way for you to improve your game. And it's just tough. It's tough. It really is. And I mean, I feel like I had literally a decade of practice doing it, and it's still not always the easiest. So for someone who doesn't have that practice of separating those two, I can see where it's a real struggle.
And it depends like what your goals are too. Like if it's to truly like get better at pickleball and improve your craft, then do that. If your objective is to literally go have fun and beat your friends and shit talk, like, yeah, play to whoever you want, try to win the game. It's dependent on the person too. But I would say, like, you know, if a better player joins your group, it's probably, you know, for their sake, so they don't want to ever, like, let's say would be willing to do it again and not just be like, why am I wasting my time out here? Play to them.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be 95%, but it's always above 50 struggling, the better player, obviously it's always above 50 to that better player. And that's a good point, Rob. A lot of the times when I have given private lessons to not like a regular, just someone that might be a one-time thing, or I'm only going to do a couple lessons, I ask them, like, what are your goals? Like, what do you want to get out of this? Is it to beat Larry the Lobber that's in your group, or is it to just kind of be more internal and just get your game to the highest level that you want it to? So a lot of these implementation of new techniques can have you have that level dip before you come back up, and it actually makes you better. Totally. Some people aren't willing to go through that. They just want to have fun and they want to do it, and that's great. But if you are one of those players that wants to get to the best level you can, you're going to have a different mindset than those just full on fun rec players.
Yeah. And you're going to lose, and it's not going to feel good. You're going to feel like you didn't improve that day, but it's you know, it's not a linear curve straight up, right? It's like there's dips and valleys and peaks. And, but what I always think about is if I'm losing a game and I played a fair amount of the balls, like it's your learning. Like you can get as upset as you want about losing, but like if you actually, you know, dissect what just happened, you're going to get better. Even if you don't dissect it, I think just by losing, you're going to subconsciously know like what hurt you, and you're going to work on those things. And
And when it's just think of it this way, when you have the right mindset, your court time is literally 2, 3, 4, 5x more valuable than if you aren't going into it with the right mental mindset. So, yeah. I mean, you could honestly take 3, 4, 5 times longer to improve a certain level when you were not really thinking about it and just going through the motions, where someone else is practicing with a purpose and in the right mindset, they are exponentially getting better quicker than you because of that mental factor.
Oh, it's so true. And I mean, we can transition subjects, but like you said, practice with a purpose. Like those, like it's easy to go out and just hit balls, right? But like if you're actually trying to get better, like treating practice like it's a match with that level of focus and intensity.
No, I like squeezing these segments in. You know, maybe this was just kind of whatever theory mindset type thing, but to have a couple specific physical things as well that we can talk about in some subsequent episodes, I think is really good and will really help those players looking to improve.
Yeah, and honestly, whatever you guys want to hear from us in respect to getting better, let us know, and we're happy to dive into this because I actually like talking about this stuff. It helps me too.
Yeah, I agree. I don't mind. I don't mind teaching. I hated teaching tennis, but I don't mind teaching pickleball. I've never really, I haven't done it a crazy amount, but a pretty good amount. And I haven't had my will to do it wane in any way. So I enjoy seeing people get better. I enjoy kind of watching players who won it and then seeing results. That's all fun. That's all progression. Yeah. And as a coach, coach or teacher. That's a great aspect of it, and I agree completely.
I just want to give a shout out based on you just triggered me on thinking about my season two teammate with the St. Louis Shock, Martin Emmerich, in terms of teaching. So this dude, I would say outside of Tyson, the guy that I know that has the second best work ethic in pickleball is Martin Emmerich. And not just in terms of like training for himself, but like this dude is so regimented. Like I believe he's up at maybe before 5 a.m. every day. He has turkey chili every single day for lunch, like meal preps it. He most days he's teaching, and this might have slowed down a little bit recently, but he's often teaching from like 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. without a break on court, teaching, standing up, eating like meals while he's picking up balls. Like it's insane stuff. And then I talked to him about like what his perfect kind of day looks like moving forward into next year. And he's like, you know, ideally I'd be teaching like, you know, 5 hours a day. And then like I have 4 hours a day of training pickleball. I'm like, 9 hours a day on court's your dream day? You're a psychopath. But some people are just built like that, man. It's like that. I could never do that. I would lose my mind. But some people just thrive in that. And not only that, but he does 3 cold plunges a day. Three. And he showers prior to each one and after each one. Guy takes 6 showers a day.
That's professional stuff. And I had a very light conversation with Travis Rettenmeyer, who I actually like quite a bit. I think he gets a dick rap, but I really like the time, the little bit of time that I've been able to spend with him. And he said the exact same thing about Emmerich. He was like, that dude will be just fine. His work ethic in tennis was ridiculous. I mean, he wasn't knocking him at all. He had a teeny bit less talent than a handful of other players, but just the will, determination, mental focus, and work ethic on court got him to a very high level and got him to be better or a higher ranking than maybe someone that had a bit more full-on God-given talent. So that's great to see. And the professionalism is only going to increase. Travis, you know, knocked plenty of players saying, no one knows how to be a professional. A lot of these, you know, pickleball only athletes or never got to a high level of pro tennis. They just don't quite know what it takes. And that's going to continue to change as more and more players come in and more rewards of being that high end player are out there.
Yeah. Shout out to Martin for being a professional.
Professional. He's dominant hands, the right one. Lefty guy looks great physically. I mean, I don't have a problem with him. He just has to avoid that Todd Foote role and he'll be just fine.
Nightmares.
It's okay.
That was tough. Okay. Anything else? This is a solid 49 minutes, Adam. What do you think?
No, I'm into that. You know, it's gotta be real good to get over an hour. I start losing my train of thought and whatnot. So
do we jump into any of the MLP stuff? I know we had some comments that we could mention.
Let's just do it next week. I'm sure it'll all be obsolete by then anyway. So we'll get some fresh info from our sources, and we will touch on it again next week when we get together, along with maybe another couple tips for those amateur players looking to improve.
The segment has to be called Just the Tip, just for a second.
Just the Tip, just for a second, just to see how it feels, Robert.
Just to see how it feels. No. Bye. No. Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary. Yeah.